Second Chronicles. Yes. Sure.
Everybody knows my granddaughter. It's hard for me to talk about her, but she's going through a tough time.
Another day that we can gather together in your name, worship you in song, hear from your word, and Lord, so we do just want to commit the every detail of the service up to you. Just pray for each one of our folks here this morning, that you would meet the needs of each one represented, the family, the families, things that are near and dear to each heart, Lord. And we do pray for our sister and the situation with her grandchildren, grandkid and all that. We just lift it up to you, God. And we know, just like our memory verse says, that the eyes of the Lord are upon us, and Lord, that you do work in our behalf, and sometimes we don't understand, and Lord, but the song we sang tells us Father alone will know why, and will understand why. And so we do just pray for each one here this morning, just pray for your grace, your mercy, your love, and your blessings in our lives. And we commit the service into your hands. Name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
All right. Anyway, so if you're in Second Chronicles chapter 19, I was going to, as my son-in-law would say, I'm going Old Testament on you. Amen. And so I love the Old Testament. I love the stories and the spiritual lessons that we get from them. I do feel bad because I had told Matt and his dad I was going to be preaching about Caleb, but God changed the text about halfway through the week, so we'll be preaching about Jehoshaphat instead, amen. So anyways, over here in chapter number 19, I'll try to give you a little preview. In chapter 18, it's kind of the famous story. Jehoshaphat was one of the good kings, one of the great kings. He started ruling when he was about 35. He was Asa's son. Asa was Solomon's grandson, so Jehoshaphat would be Solomon's great-grandson. And so he had a good lineage, some good examples in his life, and he was a good king. He reigned for about 25 years, but over in chapter number 18, he makes an alliance with Ahab, and we all know Ahab was wicked. Ahab was married to Jezebel, you know, the whole thing. And for whatever reason, he didn't need money. He didn't really need his alliance or allegiance. But Jehoshaphat made the choice to basically become unequally yoked with a wicked king and kingdom. And to make a long story short, if you go back and read chapter 18, you'll see he almost gets himself killed, you know. And so a lot of times people, we hear preaching about the fall and the failure and the shame and things like that, Jehoshaphat. But over here in chapter number 19, we see him come back to God. We see him get right with God, and we'll read and we'll see in verse 3, he had already prepared his heart to get right with God even before the preacher had rebuked him, you know. And so we'll look at some of the good things that happened when Jehoshaphat turned back to God and turned back to God's ways, and we'll just see some few examples of things that we could apply to our lives, whether we're a new Christian and just beginning to walk with the Lord, whether we've been walking with the Lord and just to be reminded of these things, or even a Christian that went off course a little bit and you recover yourself and get back on. Some of these things that Jehoshaphat does will be a blessing to us. Remember, the Apostle Paul said these things, talking about the Old Testament, are written for our learning, amen. So we can learn from the mistakes, we can learn from the successes of all the, if you don't read your Old Testament, you're missing out on so much, because you see the power of God, you see the hand of God, you see the character and nature of God in such a powerful way. God dealt with those children of Israel in such a special way, and just some of the dynamic ways God intervenes. And we'll even see in this lesson here. But let's read chapter 19, is only 11 verses, so we'll just read the whole thing. If I slaughter some of the big names, just remember I'm from Worcester, amen. So, anyways, chapter 19, it says, "And Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, returned to his house in peace to Jerusalem. And Jehu, the son of Hanani, the seer, went out to meet him and said to King Jehoshaphat, 'Shouldest thou help the ungodly and love them that hate the Lord? Therefore is wrath upon thee from before the Lord.'" But look at verse 3. It says, "Nevertheless, there are good things found in thee, in that thou hast taken away the groves out of the land and hast prepared thine heart to seek the Lord." Verse 4, it says, "And Jehoshaphat dwelt at Jerusalem, and he went out again through the people from Beersheba to Mount Ephraim and brought them back unto the Lord God of their fathers. And he set judges in the land throughout all the fenced cities of Judah, city by city." In verse 6, it says, "And said to the judges, 'Take heed what ye do, for ye judge not for man, but for the Lord, who is with you in the judgment. Wherefore now let the fear of the Lord be upon you. Take heed and do it. For there is no iniquity with the Lord our God, nor respect of persons, nor taking of gifts. Moreover, in Jerusalem did Jehoshaphat set of the Levites and of the priests and of the chief of the fathers of Israel for the judgment of the Lord and for controversies when they returned to Jerusalem." Verse 9 says, "And he charged them, saying, 'Thus shall ye do in the fear of the Lord, faithfully and with a perfect heart. And what cause soever shall come to you of the brethren that dwell in their cities between blood and blood, between law and commandments, statutes and judgments, ye shall even warn them that they trespass not against the Lord. And so wrath come upon you and upon your brethren. This do, and ye shall not trespass. And behold, Amariah, the chief of the priests, is over you in all matters of the Lord. And Zebediah, the son of Ishmael, the ruler of the house of Judah for all the king's matters. Also the Levites shall be officers before you. Deal courageously, and the Lord shall be with the good." And so Jehoshaphat goes back. He had already decided in his heart he was going to walk with God. He was, and you read over there in chapter number 18, when he got with Ahab, remember he said, Ahab said, "Hey, why don't you side up with me and we'll go attack this land here." And Jehoshaphat, you know, was a good spiritual man. He said, "Well, is there any prophets of the Lord we could inquire of?" And Jehoshaphat said, "Oh, yeah," and brought a bunch of false prophets. And they all were giving a good, you know, account to Ahab. They're like, "Oh, yeah, go ahead. God will bless you. Yeah, go, go, go. God will be with you, oh, king," you know. And Ahab was sopping up all that, you know. And Jehoshaphat knew in his heart and that these were false prophets. And he said, "Is there not another prophet of the Lord here?" And remember what Ahab said? Ahab said, "There is yet one named Micaiah, but I hate him because he doesn't prophesy good towards me." And Jehoshaphat said, "Oh, don't say that," you know, saying he hated the real prophet of God. And so Micaiah comes, and at first he's sarcastic. They say, "Micaiah, is God with us?" And he's like, yeah, go ahead, God." And they said, "You know, don't fool with us like that." Of course, I'm paraphrasing, you know. And he said, you know, and Jehoshaphat really wanted to hear from the Lord. Anyways, in chapter 18, Jehoshaphat decides he's going. Then, of course, Ahab's like, "Hey, I got a good idea. I'll wear like regular soldier clothes, and you wear the king's clothes, because they wouldn't shoot at the king, you know. And Jehoshaphat's going along with it. And then the other army says, yeah, just go after the king. And so Ahab was playing Jehoshaphat really foul, you know. And Jehoshaphat almost got killed and ends up coming back here in chapter 19. And then we see this. So anyways, we'll look at some of these things here. And even though he made a bad alliance, even though he had made some bad decisions, he did realize it at a point. Prepared to seek the Lord. Amen. And so the first thing we notice after he gets back in fellowship with God and tries to put that behind him and go forward, and that's what's so great about God. Amen. It says a good man, woman, whoever falls seven times and gets up. Amen. And that's the victory when you stay in the fight. Amen. The fight is the victory as a Christian. Once you stop fighting and you just give up, amen, that's when you, as long as you stay in the battle, you don't give up, I'm going to pray, I'm going to try to make things right, I'm going to walk with God, you'll have the victory, amen, that is the victory. And so the first thing we notice Jehoshaphat does is in verse number 4, he begins seeking the restoration of others, amen. And that's one of the things that as Christians, we all know people, some that have went out. Of course, we know some that should be sitting here today and they're not here. They've made some bad decisions and try to get them back. But in verse number 4, it says, then Jehoshaphat dwelt at Jerusalem, and he went out again through the people from Beersheba to Mount Ephraim and brought them back unto the Lord God, the Lord God of their fathers. And so he's going back out trying to bring people back. In his case, he feels like if people stumbled or fell because of his example, the Bible tells us we shouldn't be a stumbling block to others. Amen. And as Christians, that's always a difficult thing. We see it with Asaph over in Psalm number 77 when he saw how the wicked were blessed and he felt like the God's children were struggling, and it said he almost went back, amen. He almost was going to depart from the Lord, but he knew he was looked up to by so many other people, and he said, well, I'm not going to do that. Asaph, you remember, he was the song leader over the Levites, had a choir like 288 people or something, a big choir. He was a preacher, and you know, and he got discouraged and was ready to turn away, but he said, I'm not going to. So Jehoshaphat here, because he doesn't want to, because he's concerned that others may be turned away from God because of his behavior, goes out, he said, all through the land, it says, to restore others back to God. And he says, and brought them back, which means that they obviously were there at one time. Amen. And so he needed to bring them back. And so really he loses no time in trying to get back on course. He comes back. The preacher says, yeah, you messed up, and I could see you trying to get right, and then in verse 4 he just gets right back on track. Amen. Jude, verse 22 and 23, it says, and of some having compassion, amen, making a difference, others saved with fear, pulling them out of the fire, amen. And so as a Christian, we the Bible says we're supposed to exhort one another, amen. And when somebody falls, or so, we don't know the circumstances. Sometimes we do know some of the circumstances, but my point is, don't be mean to people, amen, and depreciate them or be judgy, you know. Well, you don't know what people go through. You don't know what their feelings are, but we try to exhort them, amen. That means to encourage and bring back, amen. Hey, I know you went through a difficult thing, but you know you need to be back with God, amen. I realize you stumbled and fell, but you need to come back to God, amen. You know that you need to be in the house of the Lord, and things like that. And so first thing Jehoshaphat does is he just realizes the best thing he can do is try to get the people back looking at the Lord. Another thing he does in verse number 7, he declares the way of the Lord. Amen. Let's read verse 7. Verse 7 says, wherefore now let the fear of the Lord be upon you. Take heed and do it, for there is no iniquity with the Lord our God, no respect of persons, nor taking of gifts. And so he begins to, he sends the Levites out and all the wisest men to begin to teach the people about morality and the righteousness and how to live right and walk right. Amen. And as Christians, that's what we need to try to do. Amen. We need to try to declare the ways of the God. Amen. And realize, like this verse, we can't fool God. We can't deal, falsely with God. He's not a respecter of persons. You can't bribe God. Amen. God, he knows that he's God. Amen. He knows everything. And for the child of God, it's so important for us to declare the ways of God. Amen. You don't. We don't compromise from that, amen? And it's a scary thing when people say, whether they say it in their own heart or they say it out loud, I know what the Bible says, but. Because what you're saying is, I know what the Bible says, but I'm going to trespass against the Lord. I'm going to choose to not do what the Bible says. And so it's a scary thing. Jehoshaphat found out by departing from the ways of God, amen? He almost got himself killed. Amen. These things are written for our example. And so it's so important for us to declare the ways of God. God says, my ways are not your ways. My thoughts are not your thoughts. Amen. And so sometimes we don't understand why things are happening the way they are. Just like that song says, Father alone will know all about it. Father alone will understand. Someday maybe we'll understand. You know, when I was a boy, my mom died. I was almost 8. I was upset. I was angry. I hated God for a while. I thought it was his fault. I always believed in God. Someday I'll know why. I mean, I'm 58 now. I still don't know what was the point of my mom dying when she was 26 and leaving 5 of us kids, you know. But God knows what his ways are not our ways, amen. And so it's important for us, even if we don't understand, not to, to try to do things our way and to be genuine and sincere with God, amen. And to follow, declare the ways of God, amen. It's important for us to do what the Bible says, amen. If the Bible says something about a certain thing, then that's a certain subject, then we need to try to do that, amen, to the best of our ability. So he tries, he seeks the restoration of others. He declares the ways of God. In verse number 10, he warns him of the danger of departing from God. In verse 10, it says, "And what cause soever shall come to you of your brethren that dwell in the cities, between blood and blood, between law and commandments, statutes and judgments, ye shall even warn them that they trespass not against the Lord, amen, and have wrath come upon you and upon your brethren. This do, and ye shall not trespass." So if we try to stick to God's word, God's ways, we don't try to deal falsely with God. We don't willfully just say, well, I know what the Bible says, but I'm doing this, you know, and things like that. We need to do our best to apply those things and just be honest with God. Say, God, I hate this situation. I have no idea why this had to happen. I know the verse says all things work together for good. I see no good in this. But you're God, I'm not. Help me to trust you. Help me to show me the right way. I'm willing to. And be honest with God, amen. We need to stay in the will of God, amen. Don't step outside the will of God, amen. When we're in the will of God, we have that hedge around us, amen. When we step outside the hedge, it tells us in Ecclesiastes, when you break down the hedge, it says you get bit by a serpent, amen. And so none of us want that. We all know who the serpent is, right? And we want to have that hedge of God around us and protecting us, our family, our friends, our children, our church, whatever. Amen. And so he warns them here not to turn from God's ways. Amen. And don't get outside of the will of God. Amen. And then we see what happens in chapter 20 in verse 1 to 3. The first thing And this was something that was always sad to me. We know God knows what's best and God does what's best. But we see Jehoshaphat decides to get his heart right with God. He begins to try to get others back, etc. He begins to declare the ways of God. And next thing you know, boom, now there's a big trial, a big test in front of him. And we many times you see that happen when someone, maybe they've been away from the Lord, they get back to God. And as soon as they're just trying to get their feet back under him, and boom, something happens. And you're like, oh, man. And you, are they going to make it? You know, are they going to? And it's scary, amen. But sometimes, I remember when we had our church and we'd see people, we'd baptize someone. Next thing you know, they went through a trial, like a kind of a difficult thing. And I remember reading one day when the Lord got baptized, what happened to him? The first thing was he got out into the wilderness and tempted for 40 days. So I don't understand this. Again, that's one of those things God has his ways and knows what's best. And so we'll read verse 1 to 3. Jehoshaphat begins seeking God, and then right off the bat, a trial comes. It says, and it came to pass, chapter 20, verse 1, and it came to pass after this means after Jehoshaphat got right with God and tried to do things right, after this also that the children of Moab and the children of Ammon and with them other besides the Ammonites and came against Jehoshaphat to battle. Amen. And there came some that told Jehoshaphat, saying, there cometh a great multitude against thee from beyond the sea on the side Syria. And behold, they be in Hazadonimar, which is En-Gedi. Look what it says in verse 3. And Jehoshaphat feared. But look at what he did. And set himself to seek the Lord. Amen. And so, again, as soon as Jehoshaphat makes a decision, you know what? I'm going to walk with God. I'm going to try to do things right. I'm going to try to stay on course. He gets confronted with a trial, but he makes the right decision here. Amen. He says that he's going to seek the Lord. Amen. And then we're going to look in verse 4. It says, in Judah gathered themselves together to ask help of the Lord. Amen. Even out of all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord. So they followed his example. Again, amen. They saw that Jehoshaphat decided he was going to seek the Lord. He set his heart towards the Lord as this trial came his way, and he was going to seek God in this situation. And the people of Judah saw that also, amen, and did the same thing. And so his example, he sets that good example, and it's followed by others. Then we see the prayer of Jehoshaphat in verse number 6. He refers to God's almightiness, amen. And not that God has to be reminded of things, but for whatever reason it is, God likes it when we quote verses to him. God likes it when you read his words. He knows what it says. He wrote it. He got the whole thing memorized. I have a hard time memorizing one verse, amen, sometimes. The older I get, the harder I have a hard time remembering verses, amen. But he loves it when you read his word to him. You have a quiet time. Sit down and say, you know what, God, I'm going to read the Psalms to you and read them out loud like you're reading them to him. Boy, what a blessing you'll have. Not that we go by feelings, but you feel it almost. You're like, wow, what a, your spirit feels large and strong, and just read to God, amen. That's why I like Suzanne. I always waves to God, amen. She always waves to Jesus. I love that, amen. Wave to Jesus. He's up there, amen. And he likes it when we give him attention, amen. But anyway, so he begins to seek the Lord in the day of trouble. And the first thing he does in verse 6, he recognizes God's almightiness. He says, and said, O Lord God of our fathers. Look at what he says. Art not thou God in heaven? Amen. Recognize where he is. Just like in Isaiah chapter 6, when Isaiah said, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord, said, Uzziah the king died, amen, but God the king, he saw sitting on the throne, amen, his temple, his train filled the temple, the seraphims, and he just saw the glorious almightiness of God, amen, and we need to always remember just how powerful a God we have and how mighty a God we have and a miracle working God that we have, amen. That's why these Old Testament stories build your faith. Faith comes by hearing, hearing the word of God, amen. Not just as far as salvation, but even after you're saved, to build you up. Their faith comes by hearing the word of God. In verse 6, he says, and said, O Lord God of our fathers, art not thou God in heaven? Look what it says, and rulest not thou over all the kingdoms of the heathen, amen. And in thine hand is there not power and might, so that none is able to withstand thee? And so he's got his faith back and is strong, and he's recognizing God is powerful, and God can deliver, and God can work in this situation, this army that's come up against Jehoshaphat and the people of Judah. And then in verse 7, he remembers God's faithfulness. Thou our God, amen, you're our God, amen. When you've trusted Christ as your Lord and Savior, he's your God, amen. I love Psalm 23, simple psalm. Everybody, the Lord is my shepherd, amen. He's not the shepherd, he's my shepherd, amen. And it makes it personal. And so he says, art not thou our God? Look what it says, who did drive out the inhabitants of this land before thy people Israel, and gave it to the seed of Abraham, thy friend forever. And so he recognizes God's almightiness and praying to God and recognizing his awesomeness and his powerfulness, reminding him that he knows, hey, I know that you cast these people out of the land. You gave this land to Abraham, who was your friend, amen. And in verse 12, look what he says, O our God, wilt thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company, amen, that cometh against us, neither know we what to do. But our eyes are upon thee, amen. And how many times do we have to come before God? God, this situation is out of my control, especially sicknesses and things like that, amen. It's like you feel so helpless, you know, someone's baby's in the hospital or somebody's sick and things, and you feel so helpless, amen. You wish you could just do something, amen, when something happens. And he says here, neither know we what to do, amen, but our eyes are upon you. And so we just trust God, amen. And when we trust him, he's faithful to us, amen. And he loves us. It tells us to cast all our care upon him, amen. That's why we have the promise, Hebrews 4, 16. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we can, the throne of grace, that we, amen, that's me and you, may obtain mercy, amen, and find grace and help. And so God wants us to come to him. Don't any of us, if something was going on with our children, we'd want them to come to us, amen, and say, hey, Mom, hey, Pops, I don't know what to do about this situation. Maybe we can help. You know, well, God wants us to go to him, you know. Doesn't want us trying to figure it out ourselves. Doesn't want us Googling to see what Dear Abby might say about how to handle this situation. Or you know, blessed is the man that walketh not after the counsel of the ungodly. Amen. And so we try to always get our counsel from what the Word of God says, from older saints that have been walking with the Lord, that have somewhat of a little success in their lives, and we look to those types of people, amen. And then we'll try to wrap it up. I know my wife's probably praying. I hope he hurries up. I want to go see the baby over here. I do too. We're almost done, amen. But anyways, and so Jehoshaphat says he's going to turn to God this time, and the people turned with him, amen. And God honors that. What's that saying? God honors faith. Faith honors God, and God honors faith, amen. You devote yourself to him, and he devotes himself to you, amen. You be committed to him, he's committed to you. That type of thing. Amen. And so he prays and acknowledges God's greatness. And verse number 14 and 15, we see the prayers answered, and he's told the battle's not his. Let's read verse 14 and 15. And wait till you see the end of this story. This is crazy. This is crazy that the way they get the victory out of this thing. Amen. And so, and it just shows you God's ways are not our ways. Amen. But look at verse 14 and 15. It says, "And upon Jehaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaniah, the son of Jael, the son of Mattaniah, a Levite of the sons of Asaph," there's Asaph again, this one of his sons, amen. Look what it says, "came the Spirit of the Lord in the midst of the congregation." Verse 15, "And he said, hearken ye all Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou King Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord," amen, "unto you, be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's," amen. And that's what we need to remember, that the battle, we're God's responsibility. We're bought with a price. We're not our own, as the Bible says, and wait on the Lord, amen. So we see as soon as he got right with God, his prayers get answered. God takes over responsibility for him, amen. And all the one that, all he needs to do is trust in the Lord. Look what it says in verse 17, "Ye shall not need to fight in this battle." So he's got an army coming up against them. He's trying to seek God's will. What should I do? Should I gather together the army? I think he had an army that was bigger. David's had like 1,800,000. David had 1,300,000 in his army. So Jehoshaphat had a great army. Amen. That's why it was silly. Why was he hooking up with Ahab to begin with? Anyways, he says, "Ye shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourselves, stand ye still." Look what it says. "And see the salvation of the Lord with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord will be with you." Amen. And so he's telling them to stand still, see the salvation of the Lord. Amen. And the bottom line is, it doesn't matter to us if we know how God's going to do something. If he does it, that's all that matters, amen? That makes us say, wow, God, well, this is great. God is good, amen? I can't believe I was scared. I can't believe I was worried. I can't believe I didn't trust God, amen? Well, what a blessing. And so he's telling them, they got this army coming up against them, amen? He's telling them to go out against them. In verse 20, we see the testimony here of, he says in verse 20, "And they rose early in the morning, went forth into the wilderness of Tekoa, and as they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, hear me, O Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, believe in the Lord your God, so shall ye be established. Believe his prophets, so shall ye prosper." Amen. And so he's saying, you know, because I tell you what, I bet you the people were scared. They were going to march against this great army. God still didn't tell them what to do yet. He just keeps telling them, you just go. Don't worry about it. I'll take care of it. Amen. I got this. But your human nature, you still wonder, you know, you say, how's God going to do this? What's going to happen? Amen. And he tells them to believe. Amen. Just to believe. And for those of us, again, we try to follow God's word. We try to follow what God says. The examples of those that had a little bit of success before us. And look at verse 21. It says, "And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto the Lord, and that they should praise the beauty of holiness as they went out before the army, and to say, praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever." So God tells Jehoshaphat, I mean, can you picture seeing an army all set up on a hill, and you're face to face with that army, and you figure you're going to engage in some sort of battle or fighting or something, and all of a sudden the other army starts singing? I mean, that's crazy, amen? But imagine seeing our troops, they go, victory in Jesus. And these guys are like, I thought we were going to fight, amen? And God does things his way, amen? And his way works. But he says there, he says in verse 21, he appointed singers unto the Lord, and that they should praise the beauty of holiness as they went out before the army, and to say, praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever, amen? Look at verse number 22. "And when they began to sing and to praise the Lord,
the Lord set ambushments against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, which were come against Judah, and they were smitten, amen? They were smitten. Somehow God, I remember there's one passage of scripture where David can actually hear the, he says, I hear the sound of going in the trees, amen? Him and his army were marching, and they, I can't remember the conflict they were engaged in, and he could hear the army of angels above the trees going out before him, amen? I mean, God, look at Elijah when with his apprentice, when he said, God, open his eyes, and he looked up and just saw they were surrounded by the angels of God, amen? The Bible says that the angels of the Lord encamp themselves around the saints, amen? We can't see them, but they're around us, amen? And they protect us, and God is with us, amen? And so it's so important for us to recognize these things and to read God's word. And so they began singing, and they began praising the Lord, and the other army just was smitten. It doesn't tell us what happened. Well, they, we've seen other passages where the they just kill each other, and you're like, wow, what the heck's going on here? God can do any. These stories are designed to let us know that God is powerful. God can do anything. God can help us, amen. But our responsibility is to seek the Lord with our heart, amen. Try to do the best we can to stay on course. Just like Jehoshaphat did. He messed up. He got right back with God. Shortly after that, a big conflict came before him, but this time he stuck with God, and God delivered him, amen. And so it's so important for us, amen. Faith is the victory. So for the Christian, if you're walking good right now and things are good for you, and try to help others. Try to be encourage others. Amen. Be an exhorter. There's a book out there. It's called The Backwards Preacher by Peter Cartwright. He was a Methodist. And he considered himself an exhorter. That's what he, and he rode around back. It was like the cowboy days, you know. It's a good book for men to read. Like, he was very manly. He got in fights and stuff. It was like he'd go into a town, and the town bully would say he was going to beat him up. And so he'd go find that guy first and go, hey, you so-and-so, I heard you were going to beat me up. And the guy goes, yeah, you're that priest. And they'd fight, and then he'd beat the guy up because he was a big guy. And then he'd say, you know, all right, well, you know, sorry I have to beat you up, but, you know, I don't like living in dread, amen? And he'd witness to him, and sometimes that bully would, you read the book, it's called The Backwoods Preacher, Peter Cartwright, true story. And they said one time he rode into a town, and there was, everybody was in a barn, they were having a dance. And so it was pouring, it was dark at night, and he went in the barn, and some girl came running up to him. He grabbed his hand and said, dance with me. And he said, well, I don't like doing anything without praying first. And so he kneeled down, and he was a preacher, so he had a preaching voice, you know, he had a loud voice. He began praying, and the girl was trying to pull her hand away, and he wouldn't let go of her hand. The band stopped playing, the whole place got quiet, and Peter Cartwright prayed the Holy Ghost down on that dance, and shortly after, people got saved there. They turned that barn into a church. I mean, man, you read those stories about people that walked with God and had it rougher than us. You know, we kind of live in a, we got a lot of comforts and easy things, amen? Anyway, so anyways, that's my sermon. I just pray it'll be a blessing to you, encouraging. Seek the Lord. Try to help others if there's other. And if they don't listen, you can at least pray. Amen. We can always pray. Ask God to intervene. Bring that one back. You know, be loving. Amen. Be loving. Don't be mean. And God, you backslidden reprobate. Why ain't you in church? You know, because who wants to be around people that are mean like that? Amen. You tell them, man, we love you. We miss you. Well, you come back, you know, declare God's ways. Amen. And direct people to God. Amen. And just when you come across those trials, just hold on to the Lord. Amen. And say, God, I'm scared, but I'm going to trust you that this thing's going to work out good. And somehow it'll work out, even though I don't understand now. And and let God do his thing, his God thing, amen. And and we'll be blessed for it. But anyways, let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we love you, appreciate your goodness. We do thank you for the